Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome to the Open Goal FC podcast! Yay! We have the big man back, Kevin Kyle. Big man, we had a bust up yesterday. We're back in good terms, aren't we, Kevin?
We had a massive bust up yesterday. First time in 4 years.
Mate, it was a wee bit of miscommunication, but hey, we move on. We've got Robbie Hardy straight for Graeme Spears' knickers. Robbie, what a fucking debut you made, mate. But I get a wee bit sour, didn't it, with the sort of reviews at the end of it, mate. You're outstanding as well.
Listen, mate, made a wee bit of noise, but what can we do about that? We just need to stay positive and kick on to me.
By the way, you're like, you're a dinosaur, so
the youngest dinosaur has to be.
Have you spoken? Sorry, we'll get on to the main man in a minute, but just have you reached out to
Graham? To Graham.
Used to are really tight, weren't you?
We used to be. Obviously, we're not new, so I'll keep that our conversation private.
Aye, but as just before, Robbie, I'm wanting to be out here, so instead of me keep on asking you, just fucking tell me.
Robbie, met him in Bray Heath for a shite, didn't you?
No, I can't say that word now. Can't swear now.
Scottish boy, over 1,000 games in Scottish, every league in Scotland. The main man, Scottish boy!
Legend!
How are you, Scottish boy, alright?
Very good, very good. Happy to be here. Finally got me on slide.
You tried to go on for a while, mate, didn't you?
Aye, you threatened it for a while, but...
I keep on saying to Scotland every week, listen, I haven't asked at all.
No,
To be fair, I've been looking forward to this man getting on. Me and Adair spoke about it for a wee while. This man's got a few good stories.
But the thing is, it's unbelievable here. Me and Kev have both played with him.
Aye.
Where?
He's a character, that's for sure.
Aye, and I was at Clive, you Scotty, by what would you, seriously, just we're going to go on to Scotty though, right? But what would you make of us two? It's two guys, it's two teammates in the war with each other.
Oh, hopeless.
No. Good teammates.
Aye, ability.
I think I'm being a bit kind.
Kev, you can lie. You can lie material, didn't you, by the
way?
Me and the fucking God rest his soul, the goalie.
I met him there.
Oh, you met him there? Yeah. What a guy, though, was the goalie, wasn't he?
Aye, brilliant guy, really nice guy.
This is unbelievable. One of my first actual times I was there, only met him, Scotty, and you remember this one in the dressing room before the game? The night before the training, we were training. So I've done a shadow boxing in the changing room. Can't even fuck, hate boxing, not interested in routine, all shadow boxing. So he's PTC, didn't notice it. But listen, that was it, we moved on. So the next day at the game, he's came and signed, what was it again?
Thomas Hitman Hearns.
He went up to, do you know Hitman Hearns?
Aye.
One of the biggest boxers of all time, aye. Yep. So he's went to an event, he's talking, the goalies went up to him and got it to sign all the best Slaney.
No way.
Unbelievable though, isn't it? We touch a class, that Scotty boy.
You were like, oh, that's amazing. He didn't have a clue.
You're sitting me on, didn't you?
Favourite boxer.
We heard it was Eddie Hearns.
Thanks so much, Andy. Thanks so much for that.
Right, boys, before we go on to the show, Robbie boy, as you know,
yes,
nothing happens without who knows wins.
Who knows wins?
Take it away, Robbie.
Take it away?
Yeah, it's only going to one. I'm not going to get you involved.
Right, not only are we providing entertainment to the people at home, we're also making them serious money.
No, Robbie, I'll take it away.
That's who I have to do. The stick shot with a name.
So the winner of last week, Scotty boy, his name is Arsadamic72. So Arsadamic72 took home $5,500. And the Scottish picked 10 lead by getting 9 out of 10 results correct. That's unbelievable.
So Arsadamic72.
And as always, you don't need to get all the picks right, Robbie, as you know.
You do not.
9 out of 10, he still walks away with your money.
Thank God you don't, because I've got no chance of getting 10 out of 10.
If you fancy your chances to win big cash, download the Who Knows Win app and take part in the Scottish Pick 10 League, where there'll be another 10k prize pot with runners up prizes included a wee few stutters there in between. Last week, Kev, you go 5 out of 10, Dale get 4. That's why that man will never be back in this show.
Nah, he's poor,
it was absolutely.
This has been the best lineup, I'd say.
It's been a great start as well. Dale was an embarrassment last week, wasn't he?
What was he like before it and all? How weird was he been?
He goes all serious, Scotty. Do you know Dale Lyle?
Aye.
An embarrassment. So, he's a brilliant guy, but what about one right away? His first lines. He was talking about he said Southampton. Not good enough for my show. Off we go.
Southampton, he beat Tottenham.
No, I'm standards my show, so you'll be back. Robbie Boy, horrific for you. 4 out of 10, mate.
But good shout saying that Celtic are going to draw with Kelly. 5 out of 8.
What did you get?
I get 7.
Brilliant,
mate. I had 3 on Saturday night, so that made it up to a 10. I can imagine last night saying all that. Yeah, here we go, right, lads. One of the more serious things, obviously, the match on Sunday. Robbie Boy, I seen you what about half time with a pint cup, couldn't believe that. Oh, then you want to catch your eye, mate, because we burst and we started laughing, whatever. But listen, disappointing match, Roy, what did you make it?
Aye, listen, obviously, last week was a lot easier to talk about the game, given the fact that 2-0 didn't come back 3-2, but all seriousness, obviously really disappointing. I think, as you've said previously, as a coaching team, between yourself, Dale and Si, that you could probably accept losing games, but it wasn't that manner, it was obviously really disappointing. If you look at our two defeats, East Kilbride, really good game of football. But it could have went either way. Civil Service Strollers obviously started the game well, probably lost their way a wee bit in the middle and in the second half, but I think probably in the entirety it wasn't a great game. I think obviously the sending offs had a big impact, but I think that you can only control kind of your own performance, and I don't think we reacted to it with that either.
No, definitely. Obviously, listen, you can't go away feel a red card will change the game or whatever, but still the sort of the basics of the game, tackling, being physical and stuff, that wasn't there. Where it has been, no enough shots. But sometimes you get games like, and it is, listen, it's early on, but listen, we'll keep on.
See what you're saying about after the ball as well, that's probably been the one thing for me watching, as I said, been a few games, watched every game back. That's probably been the one thing that's been so impressive about the minute. Like that, their energy, the intensity on the ball, the energy off it, how they react to losing, it's been absolutely brilliant. But I think obviously if the boys have been honest with themselves, it wasn't quite there. There's a lot of chances for counter-attacks and stuff like that, which is probably due to not reacting too well losing the ball. So I think that, as we said last week, nobody thought it was going to be plain sailing, going to be easy. You're going to get bumps and bruises. So they reacted about going 2-0 down against Berwick to come back 3-2. So we're interested to see how they react to this. I've no doubt it'll be really good.
You intimidate me when you speak to me.
I think so. Really, that's good, a good trait in a coach, but isn't it?
It's really good.
I've been working on it this summer.
Kev, you were obviously in the commentary box, big man. How did you make it?
Normally we start very well. Mm-hmm. We started all right in terms of keeping the ball, but didn't really hurt them in any way. Didn't really get in behind or... And I feel like in the games that we've struggled, Civil Strollers, Uni, and a bit of Berwick in the first half, they sit in and they get their two banks of four, and sometimes we're a wee bit too obvious sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe move the ball a wee bit quicker and move their personnel out of position to try and get in gaps. And I think Sunday, because we didn't start well, we never really got into the game, and then they got their goal
4 minutes or something. Aye, first one.
Aye, whatever it was, it was like a ricochet off. I think it was the left back Cookie.
Aye.
Played into the path of striker, and obviously, I think Kirk's maybe possibly got to come across a bit quicker. Mm-hmm. And then the sending off, I think I tweeted to say, didn't they make an impact? Because at that time, we looked really, really flat. I didn't see how we were going to get in the game, and then they've got the second goal and the impact. the sending off basically just ends the tie. And then looking back at after 90 minutes, I'm thinking, Brimhill probably still had the majority of possession of the ball. With 10 men.
Yep,
probably 10 had men. Maybe 60-40%. But just couldn't they find an opening, couldn't they get a break? Whereas if you look at their goals back, goalkeeper having a wee bit of howler. The first one's he's tried to pass it to the winger. Cookie's tried to intercept it. He's ended up putting the striker through. Them's the kind of breaks that you need sometimes to make it go your way, and then you kick on from there. Whereas we didn't get a break. And whether the boys, I'm not saying the boys were tired, because if you think about the last 4 or 5 weeks, it's been Saturday, Tuesday, mm-hmm. constant. Mm-hmm. It's going to catch up at some point. Yeah. That pitch was huge. It's a great Sunday, great surface. Park, great surface. 25, 26 degrees. I know it's the same for both teams, but the Uni boys are in training every day. They probably get a different level of fitness, mm-hmm. and they were very compact, and they're basically probably hope, let Broomhill come on to us, and if we can catch him on the counter, that's what we'll do. And that's what they did.
Yeah.
And obviously spoke to Simon afterwards in the interview about like catching on the counter. He says that's something to look at, and I'm sure you as a coaching team will look at it. But I don't think there's anything to worry about. I think it's just a case of you're seven games in.
Six.
Six games in, three wins, three defeats. Mm-hmm. it's not as if the team at the top is running away with the league. It's a long way to go, and I think Simon's obviously looking at all our options and personnel and seeing what's available to them. And that's what it might take. It might just take a fresh face or something to come in or something to happen that gives the boys a wee bit of confidence and they kick on again, because they played some of the best teams in the league in terms of East Kilbride, who I thought were really good, and matched them, more than matched them, and could easily come away with that with 3 points. So the potential's there. It's just a case of finding the balance. We're either there, we're there, and we're in between. But the now, like obviously, I think Saturday's a good game with the Glenrothes in the Cup. I think that's a distraction from the league, and it's a good opportunity to try and regroup and go again.
Now, you often say, to be fair, like you're saying about how the fact that the first goal was Cookie maybe deflecting it, the second one was obviously with the sending off, it's him needing to recover for a ball over the top. But you say all the time, making defenders defend, they'll make mistakes at this level. And I think probably on reflection, that's what you'll probably be most disappointed as a team that probably limited shots on target, limited sort of clear chances, no too many balls in the box. I think if you looked at last week's game with Berwick, one of the things that we spoke about was the two midfielders in front of the sitter. This last week was Matty and Aidan, I think. And I think we were saying on the podcast last week on the right hand side, Matty was able to get really high, make 3v2s in the wide area, and that was causing them problems. And to be fair, no speaking out of turn here, because I'd spoke about it aside, but probably one area could have been better, especially when it's Alan Villarvin was the two centre mid, probably could have been a wee bit higher to try and play in behind them, because they sat in really well, and to be fair, they were really well organised, made it difficult, but I think you're going to come out against that, so you need to try and find sort of solutions.
It's their game plan. They were there to sit in and hope to catch you on the break somehow. First goal is a deflection that puts the striker in. Second goal is a goalkeeper making a mistake. And the next two goals is one's a free kick off the ball, didn't react well to the second phase. And the fourth one, Gary Fraser's got caught in the middle of the field. All goals that are very easily avoidable.
Yeah.
So it's not as if you've said, well, they've played some unbelievable football and cut us open, because they haven't. It's just individual errors in moments in the game that are costing you at the minute. And that's something that can be easily ironed out. It's just being more concentrated, being more disciplined in the ball, and having a better decision making.
I will say, how good's the free kick takers in this league, by the way?
Unbelievable. I played against Stirling Uni when I played in the long.
You were a good sports guy,
but they're a good team. They're always well coached, and they're always fit as fuck. Like, get after you, right?
Because I think when people hear university,
I think a lot of them, Chad Hogan, some American talent, have just come in.
The number 10, the right boy, scored the fourth goal. He could go into the league,
10, 8, and 9.
And the
eight,
big boy Jarvis.
Was called Ray, I think. I think he scored a couple, he was good. 9, I think he used to be at BSC. He was at Thistle before that. I thought he worked his socks off and caused a lot of problems. So listen, you need to get him credit.
The manager's been there for quite a few years. And they're obviously getting new boys all the time, but he does his stuff. I quite like him.
Their 20s won the league last year as well, and I think he might take the 20s as well. So eyes
up. Again, don't take it in your own direction. Let me direct the show. Scotty Boy, obviously, what did you make of the overall league when you played? Was it 3 years ago, Scotty, you played there?
Three or four years ago. I thought it was a decent standard, aye.
Is it genuinely there's a massive gap between that and say League Two or League One?
No, I wouldn't say so. Like, I'd say the top teams, like Erie School Brides and all that at the time. We started off well with Edu, and then we kind of fell away. There was four or five who were a decent standard and probably about league football, and he could go in and do well.
Brilliant. And then obviously the main man, Robbie, your first game in charge Friday night, how'd it go, mate?
Good, mate. Obviously able to win a game 2-1, which was really good, I think. But it was probably first game can throw up a wee bit of nerves and things like that, but it'd be totally honest in comparison to how we'd performed in pre-season, it probably wasn't one of our best performances. But I suppose it's again similar to Stirling, you probably got to give Bonnerick a wee bit of credit for that. They were, again, I'm not saying this is a negative whatsoever, they were a physical team, went quite direct, which I was actually quite glad. I could see young players now, they probably don't experience that, especially like our defenders have came for. I had a couple of them at Thistle, another boy was at St Mirren previously. See, pro youth football, a lot of them don't deal with it. So see, when you do come out against it, they can struggle sometimes. I do think our boys stood up to it well, but I was actually quite glad for them to get that sort of experience here and there. I'd say it was one of them. See on reflection, we were probably, between me and Andy, we were probably a wee bit critical on them. Given, but I think that's just a result of how they've performed. As I keep saying to them, I'll never apologise for holding you at a high standard, because you're the one that set it. Aye. So you're the one that set that standard for how you've played and trained in pre-season.
It's a great season.
So, yeah, like that. Again, I thought of that again last time. That's been great school.
Right, Robbie boy, who have you got this week?
So this week we've got Cumberland Colts, Tory Glen. And to be fair, that will be a good game, because they are 2004s won the Scottish Cup last year. They won the Scottish Cup, won the League Cup. Actually, Wet Watson, but Wet Watson are 18th last year and their 20s last year. Really good side. I don't think they lost a game. Brilliant. So that'll be a big test for us, so looking forward to it, mate.
Amazing. Right, boys, thank you very much for the start. The main man, Scotty. Scotty, we first met at Air United, mate. What was your first impressions genuinely of me?
Did you know him before you arrived? Obviously, we first met, running at Scotty. I've been first met, aye, obviously we knew the stories, you know that. He was an absolute mouse, never spoke to him. See, when I go to new places, like, sometimes it's got to be in Albion, so I haven't been in Albion Rovers. First day in, manager comes in, Robbie, shake my hand, does he, daddy, that way. Look, he's saying to him, boys, not that, listen, sit down, I'm walking about.
That's where I take it, but air. Sometimes I just, I don't want to get involved. I just have a look, do you know what I mean? But Scotty, when I was there the first few weeks, I was an embarrassment.
Right? I never really spoke. You hung about with wee Pedro, didn't you?
Some boy, Barney.
Hey, Pedro? No, I can't stand it.
he was on the bus. We were playing Breaking Away, remember? And Steve sitting down the front, no one to talk to him. So I stood up, I was like, right, Slaney, enough's enough. You've no spoke since you came here. Get your ass up the back of this bus and tell us about what happened to Amsterdam. He's like, oh, nothing.
Aye. Mate, I was all over the place.
But we brought you out your shell, didn't we?
Brought us out your shell. And what happened was, Robbie, though, and Kev, the Air had won four games, first of all, four games in the league,
four for every four.
And then I came in, and we didn't win a game. Aye, the whole time I was here, then the manager got sacked. Rightly so, by the way.
Aye, you brought him, didn't you?
Scott, you were really tight to Marco, you were a player with him as well, weren't
you? Aye, I played him, brilliant player.
He was wild, though, wasn't he?
Very, very good, and aye, he was wild, we'd see it tonight, and some laugh, Marco.
Have you been a wee bit used to it for the wee bit of bad blood on
the social media? He was a bit of an experienced player just like I was, but I was coming, my problem was I was coming to the end of my career and I fucking
jealous.
I hated football, maybe he flung the milk that day and bounced to your feet, staying away.
When he launched the milk.
Who was it, Marco?
That was Marco, eh?
Staying away, he chucked at me.
He just chucked it and it bounced off.
That shite in the milk. That was the first ever game I played.
Milk game.
I chucked the milk down and it fucking exploded out. I was like, the fuck are you doing?
By the way, to be fair, he kind of was like, oh no, I probably should have done that. But didn't you want it back, didn't you?
No, but listen, he had his opinion and I had my opinion and it just got to a point where...
But he's didn't really follow it.
No, we didn't. I just got frustrated because played full-time football your whole life.
Aye.
And then I'm fucking rocking up to air on a Tuesday night. I mean, a Thursday night.
I was a big for us.
The Biffy's got Empire biscuits. You know, it's a fucking.
I thought I'd nail your steak.
No.
Empire biscuits.
An Empire biscuit is not a cake. No. Because you used to get cakes.
Most fucking cake ever.
Yeah. No joke. Kevin used to put it down on the table.
Disgusting.
Smashing it, Sean. Hated it.
Cake smash. That's what they wanted to eat with newborns and that, didn't it?
I honestly couldn't get myself motivated. I just was realising that my time in football was coming to an end and they're still trying to fuck because their careers are still wanting to go and I'm wanting to go the other way. And some weeks you'd play two or three games, day well. Other weeks you'd play two
games. What age were you then?
33.
That happened to you at fucking 21, didn't
it? Absolutely dog shite. And then
happened to him the season after.
I mean, one of the games he said to me, I was on the bench 2 minutes ago. He says, "Kev, get warmed up." And I says, "Fuck off." I says, "I'm 33 years old." I says, "You're not putting me on for 2 minutes." I says, "Me, Alan Forbes was on the bench." I says, "Alan, put him on, Gaffer, get him the experience." What, you know, I go on. I says, "Fucking, what benefits putting me on for 2 minutes to go?" No, I never obviously did.
It was good to see you in the tea room. We had a good laugh, didn't
we? We did have a good laugh. Kerzo, obviously, you know Kerzo. The kit man, he's probably worthwhile getting on here, think so.
Aye.
Nah, he was good. Keep playing. Do you know he
played? He's played he junior.
And he's in the Glenafton now.
He's in the Glenafton. He could be our next guest because he would do some unbelievable stories.
Yeah, he played with McCoy's stage.
And he could tell us about the night that he kicked the bin.
Oh, man. I remember that. Remember Andy Millen on when he came out? Andy, what a guy. But have you ever seen Andy Millen eat crisps? By the way, he smashes them up in a wee tiny pieces, takes his teeth out and then he starts.
Aye.
Watching Get Every Empire Biscuit, right?
Because he's got false teeth, he crunches like them up and then he takes the teeth out and it's like fucking...
Just get it, he's a man.
That smoothie.
Drinks his crisps.
Scotty, obviously the next season, one of the greatest strikers in history, came here, Greg the Beatty Boy Beatty. What a man, wasn't he, Scotty? What a man he was.
See, he beats. Like, nice guy, really nice guy, but he used to lick his fingers every time, randomly. Like, see that arc?
Scotty, the best one, but I'll never forget it. He's played a 70 yard diagonal, right? So Pete says, I've side. She's like, sorry, Scotty. And he's got gloves on. He did that. What his gloves. Right, Scotty boy, we also played at Clyde together, and our manager, Barry Ferguson. Psychopath, isn't he?
What a guy. Ah, he was mental. He was. Some of his shouts were legendary, but
do you remember the one with Big Junior in at half time, wasn't it?
Aye, I remember. So Big Junior gave away a free kick, right? And
who's this? Junior who?
Big Chris Smith. No, Big Chris Smith.
No,
so. Remember Big Chris Smith? Big centre half left footer. He called Junior because he looked like Bomber Brown.
Good little boy, yeah.
Mr. Hanson. Right, so he's in, so he gave away a free kick. Steen Pearson. So he's given away a free kick. Navy eventually scored for it. So see that line, Big Junior's came traipsing and he'd done. And Big Bob's first said to him, Junior, talk me through that goal. Right, so he went to speak. Ferguson smacked him. Shut the fuck up, you fat piece of shit. But as if he was trying to get his excuse in, right? But he wasn't, Bob would ask him. He was going to answer.
He was going to answer.
He just killed him. Didn't he get his feet, did he?
He's probably going to take away for it and he's just absolutely killed him.
To be fair though, his training was brilliant, mate.
His training was different class. Training was as good a training you got.
Why do you think it's no really sort of work for him? He's no managing at all.
He's got really, really high standards. You know what he's like. He's like so demanding. Like, I remember there was a boy in his first night doing a shooting drill. Mm-hmm. And he was like, see that way you pass it in, you lay it off.
Uh-huh.
He passed it in Ferry. He was about to do demo. So he passed it in Ferry. He never had it hard enough into him. And I just dodged in. Ferry's like, fuck. I was like, back at you, get the fuck. Just things like that. And boys just couldn't fake it.
Jeffy is an example of somebody who probably would be more suited to a higher level being a manager.
100%. See if he was like a coach at Rangers or something like that, they would react to him. He's got really, really high standards.
Yeah.
Whereas I think you should react to it even at low level because you want to get to that level.
You better, right?
To be fair, I'm on it. I was fucking hopeless at Clyde. But he just had really, really high standards and people just couldn't handle the demands he was putting on them. Do you know what I mean?
See, on that, like, I had that same experience when I was 20 years old playing for Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
And Fergie's fucking set up the team and I'm up front. Fergie and Paul Lambert in the middle and we play on the Faroe Islands away.
Aye.
And we're 2-0 down and they two come into the dressing room and I'm like, but you just kind of like fucking keep back at it. Aye. I don't know if you're fucking tell. And the two of them went for it and like, you just felt that pressure. Do you think that at Clyde we use guys that he, like most of the players maybe crumbled under the pressure of him?
They just couldn't handle it. I quite liked it. He was like, a couple of times he would shout at me, right? And I would just give him that one kind of no look and give him the thumbs up. So he was like, fuck, and he used to say to me, he's like, I just didn't even bother with you anymore. Because you just
give
me that. I can hear you shout, I says, but I just knew you're going mental, so I'll just give you a wee thumbs up. Whereas other boys would go and turn around and blah.
You obviously know being at that level, you're the experience at an early. A lot of boys probably aren't they quite at full time level because they maybe don't have the mentality to deal with stuff like that. So that probably is how he wasn't suited to it. Because
a lot of times if he was giving boys a bit of stick, in a way he kind of wanted a reaction after to kind of go for him.
I know Andy really liked him. I remember when he was at Blackpool, I'd asked about him because obviously growing up, he's my hero growing up, do you know what I mean? So I mind when Andy went to play with him, I was absolutely buzzing. I used to ask all the time, like, how is he as a manager? And to be fair, I mind he says, I really like him. He says, but he's fucking mental. He said, and probably probably going to kill Andy Serkis. He's like, I think he's really good, but probably for him to get better, he needs to learn how to, mm-hmm. he needs to know how to deal with other people.
Yeah.
He said, because he's on everybody. He says, right, sir, myself, I want to say, Brothers, he was another, a couple of Scottish boys anyway. He says, we all really liked him, he reacted it well. He said, but a couple of boys just crawled up there ain't asking anything, which okay. probably, see, because of who he is, it's not just, no, it's not just the shouts, it's fucking well, Barry Ferguson.
It's only now captain. We've done this podcast and we've got to speak to him out with his football career, you realise that he never did it because he didn't like you.
No, he didn't.
He did it just because he was trying to help you, but he just had so high a standard. Because he, let's not beat about the bush. Barry Ferguson is probably one of the best players Scotland's produced.
He's the best I've seen at Rangers.
He's amazing, but just fucking hell, man. He was so fierce. If he had maybe Derek's humour in Barry's body, it might work out a bit at that level.
They are so different, aren't they?
I'm chuffed to meet Derek Ferguson. I don't know him yet. No, I'm chuffed. He seems like an absolute legend.
I worked him in the schools years ago, him and Big Jerry Britton, just some...
They love Jerry Britton. Doesn't he stop going
with it? See, one time, right, we went into a school to do football coaching, right, and they didn't have any boys. With that, by the way, we've not got the gym today, we're actually going to do drama. And Derek's like, I'll join in. Derek's probably about the 40 in this drama on it.
No way.
Do you
remember my first night at Clyde? So, but I'm talking to Barry Ferguson, I walked away from Barry Ferguson in the canteen. But so Derek's there, but he's got a hat and I don't know it's Derek. So Derek walks by and he's like, good luck tonight and all that. So I walk away and go like, who's that fucking?
That's
my brother.
Who's that homeless guy?
I want to ask you. See, like guys like Barry Ferguson would be right on players. Like, did you ever play with anybody that would put you've seen crazy, like, scream at players and maybe put you in your shell, or you've seen boys struggle with that?
Speedy's. What, but have I seen boys struggle with it?
Or even players you've played with, why does it stick out that were fucking nuts?
Do you get this? Like, obviously, you're playing junior football.
Aye.
Do you have that in junior football?
Aye.
Still that experienced guy who puts demands on, like.
Definitely.
It has to be.
So my first junior team, the first part of first assigned for team, Dorai. So basically, our full team was all like 17, 18, 19 year olds, apart from a nucleus of maybe four or five experienced guys. But these guys had been like top level junior football. So it's a guy, Brian Slaven and Gav Friels. So Slaven had played like, he was captain of Talbot for like 8 years, won like five Scottish Cups. Gav Friels was like, do you know Gav Friels? Like Trinity United. Two of them were mental. Uh-huh. Like genuinely mental. But they seen that as a, because we were all young boys, they just couldn't take the fact that we kind of were still that amateur and stuff like that. But it was a good learning, because they did not let you fuck about. We thought coming out of junior football, like, see if you watch like the Scottish Junior Cup final on telly, how bad does it look? I remember before I signed and we all watched them, like, how bad's the standard here? Mm-hmm. And then you play and you realise it's a lot better. So we came into it probably a wee bit naive to how hard it'd be, and they kind of
see, like, the young person come through, they won't be as good as the experienced person, because they'll help them and teach them how to.
One of them actually thought about one of the players. One of the guys I mentioned, during one of our training session, when I was 18, he started about them.
No way.
Honestly, mate, so we're training, it's like Tuesday night, and again, we're probably young boys, but we're all mates. We're used to like being quite relaxed at some training sessions, and I mind we're playing like a 7v7 game, and it was like the goalie and one of the forward players just had a hang. Like, every time we go out, he was trying to ping it to the winger, and the guy was in the goalie's team. He's like, stop fucking pinging the ball. He's like, do it properly. Sure enough, next time he gets the ball, pings it, and he's like, I've fucking had enough of you. He's like, stop fucking pinging the ball. And he just felt like, oh, fuck up or something. And he was like, what? Honestly, mate, I've never seen a guy look so angry, mate. He just started sprinting towards him, mate, and like threes had to be holding so back. My pal was a goal, started whipping his gloves off. I go with him. I was like, mate, do not try and go with this guy, because he's an absolute nut job.
Remember that one with Dunfermline, wee Forrest on that beats? I was like, damn, fuck off. Just started marching towards him. In that end.
No, like,
he's going to not. I got probably gloves out first, didn't he? Put his gloves out. I just want to see, because I know you've been on here for years, Kevin. I don't want to throw you under the bus by putting you in the spot. But was there any players you maybe not mentioned that at Sunderland or Kamal, whatever it was, that you struggled to play with, the slaughtered you or whatever it was?
Oh,
yeah, it's a long question.
It's a good question. Nobody was ever that obvious.
Were you like a bit, was he Scottie, was he in the air, were you quite?
No, I would never, boys? No, I would.
I don't mean that way, but just, no. Would the grave boys a bit?
Well, I wouldn't be scared to see my bit. I think in an any dressing room, see if you didn't speak up, you'll be that guy that sits in the corner for forever.
Aye.
You've got to have your opinions.
No, I know.
I was a bit like that, but I was quite.
We would argue all the time.
Aye, good.
But for the benefit of whatever we were doing, whether it be training or whatever, because I remember we used to hear, like, at the end of every night we'd hear a game, and it was always like, you and Marco were always in the same fucking team.
Aye.
And I was always packed, it was if we did it deliberately. I was always packed in with all the young boys, and I was used to gall and run and say, like, see, these two are like, he's fucking talking about you. We fucking hammer them. We never ever did.
Aye.
But we tried. It, but in terms of, like, players that, when I was younger, when I went to Sunderland, I wasn't probably the most fucking gifted footballers. I was late to the game and everyone else, and people ridiculed me, but that only fucking strengthened my ambition to be a footballer.
Mm-hmm.
And I rocked up my pair of size fucking 13 rugby boots because I couldn't get boots to fit.
No, but see, the one thing I would say about you, Kev, your height and you were brilliant in the air. Now some people who are, they don't actually use a height. You were double aggressive in there, weren't you?
I loved it, but I loved getting hurt. I don't know why. But like back to Sunderland, the boys would take my boots off a peg and stick them on and run it in train and take the piss, and I had no boots to get nice and sit there and think, these are fucking arseholes.
What did you do? Did you walk out with his open chest?
I remember it was Michael Proctor, and I remember his gram saying, Proggy, come here. I said, do that again. I says, I swear to God, I fucking ripped you out right off your shoulders.
Did you?
And he never did it again. I stood up for myself. But I was fucking, my heart was fucking racing saying it to him. And then eventually, because of that spurred me to work harder.
Brilliant.
And I worked hard. And then I was, all the boys that took the piss, I was the only one that ever got in the first team. And I thought, fuck you.
How did you deal with a jag for teammates? How did they actually? You know better than us.
I remember, you know, my wee bit sometimes. And he would pick on something he didn't even do. Like, you just gave the ball away 2 minutes ago.
Scott, why is it? Just came out of me. I don't want to keep coming back to him. He's a great guy. A great head of hair. He's a great, an unbelievable guy, Scott. I don't want to keep coming back. As I said there, one of the best sights I've seen at the training was when you played the ball in the corner that he beats. And he wasn't holding the ball, he's got it. But it was in the aftermath.
When I was like, oh my god, just stop passing it.
But you remember it?
That's still worse.
No, right, after the game, right, he was raging. To be fair, Beach now, he had a shite of that season, right? So he was fuming. But his tap off, he jumped in his motor. Don't fume, just his tap.
Went through him, his tap off.
Tap off, right, back to the training run. So I was going back, me and Slaney was talking, just bounce off the bus, you know what I mean? But he kicks open the front door, still with his tap up, but he got his trackings on, trapped his shoulder, jumped back in his motor, drove him. Like, I was like, peel out a bit. Just put a blunt.
Don't bother that
all. Oh, what a guy, big Beats. We actually love him, don't we?
No, we do, because he's doing a lot of good work with the PFA.
Right, Scotty boy, we can't have you on. Obviously, one of your best mates in football, Robert Snodgrass. He's played at Livingston together.
Yeah,
young boys together, and you actually took him out. Did he come and stay in your house with you?
Aye, he stayed with me for 3 months.
And at that time, and obviously I was younger, but you grew up. People were saying when Snoddy was young or whatever, had a shocking attitude, going out all the time. That wasn't he?
Nah, that was a lot of shit. He was just a young boy who was in the limelight because he was near enough in the first team, so people started making things up about him, like, Scottish mentality, try and bring you down because we see somebody get a wee bit of success. But it wasn't like that. It was just like, he wasn't the best pro at that time, but he didn't know any different. He was just a young boy who'd been flung into it.
Right.
And just needed somebody to kind of speak
to. Remember, he broke into Livy first team very young, didn't he?
Aye.
I'm sure I was at a game at Allenville against Rangers and he'd scored, and I'm sure him and Dolan's were playing. I don't know if you were there about that time, but probably would have been about 2003-04.
Aye, I was there. Snoddy came in like 16-17, like I said, and everybody was talking about his attitudes, shocking, and he's turned up drunk to train, which didn't happen. I said, he's a young boy, don't get me wrong, his timekeeping was terrible. I used to come up, right, and he'd be like, I'm 5 minutes away, he'd just be waiting for half an hour.
Sorry, Robbie.
We actually spoke about it recently, didn't we? See now, we're like academy football and stuff, obviously, I was involved in it for a few years. a lot of coaches and a lot of clubs don't like boys like that who are probably just a wee bit gallus, a wee bit confident. They're not boys, but they're maybe came from a different sort of background. What do you think? I think personally, I think they're threatened by it because sometimes these boys are maybe harder to control, harder to coach. Right. But see if you can get a tune of them. If you get a tune of them, mate, they're the best ones to play for you because they can take a jag.
Scheme boy, proper throwback.
A bit of gallusness about him.
Aye, just did a bit about yourself.
The one that was brilliant in his attitude was Stevie Boots came and spoke to him. That was brilliant.
To be fair, right, I'm saying, Stein Huffner, but this is a good story. So his attitude. So he was trying his best to get his diet better, Matt. So he's talking to Stevie Woods, and Woods is like, listen, you need to try and get as much like protein in your body and eat more veg and lots of snoddies by the time all in. And at that time, Woodsy was your first team goalie coach, but used to go to Barrowfield for say like under 15s at the time. So Woodsy said he was driving out of training and he sees the boy, just walking the street, he says it's snoddy. Snoddy just bounced at KFC, he's got the bag of KFC. So that way when you wave to something, he puts the bag on
the lap.
Oh my god, I just spoke to him a day. But that was just, he didn't know any better. When he came and stayed with me, I kind of taught him how to cook and things like that and just trying to live his life a wee bit better.
And when he was in your house, just pranked every single person in the world.
Just went into my spare room and just pranked the world.
And what he's done Snoddy's uncle, didn't he?
Aye, that was so random, right? We used to play fives at Whitehill School. And his uncle used to come. He used to play. And there was this wee guy, he was by quiet as a mouse, this wee guy called Robert, his name is. Never spoke to him up. So we phoned up, saw his uncle like, all right, how's it going? Shuggy, it's Robbie here. He's like, aye, what is it you want? Just to let you know, you're not coming back to the fives anymore. You're pish. He's like, ha, I will be there. He's like, no, you're not coming. You're fucking hopeless. He's like, I will be coming. He's like, listen, I'm coming to your fucking door now and I'll make sure you're not coming. His uncle's like, aye, just you fucking, he says, just you come to my door, I'll be waiting with a fucking hatchet. That's what he's saying. By the way, and me had these Neil Lennon masks in my motor. So he's not there, put the bone, he put the headdress in my motor, went up to his door, started banging his window. He's looking out, he's like,
that's class. Matt says that like literally. And it, obviously he was made story for a wee bit. Love, he's like, honestly, every time we were just pranking people, just randomly.
By the way, you'd just be sitting there and then a phone would bone. I remember before we played with Scott Finlay, honestly, we gave him the best prank.
Oh, mate, my brass says ask you about this.
By the way, we pranked him for so long, we just kept on phoning him, right? He was desperate to try and get something sorted. So we said we were a football agent and we were organising a big fight night, right? So he's like, listen, we want you. We asked him if he wanted P. Diddy to sign his wedding. And he's like, oh, yeah, I've got some book, that would have been great. So, but anyway, we said there was this big fight night. We said, we'll start this. There's a big fight night. He says, Mike Tyson's going to be there. Frank Bruno's going to be there. We want you there.
So we said, no way, man. No joke. He's not bought that, surely.
By the way, hook, line, sinker. So he's like, listen, would you like to come to the fight night? And meet us. It's like, and Snoddy just said to him, do you want to meet Frank Bruno? Right? Do you want to meet Frank Bruno? Scott Finley's like, well, I would love to meet you. Snoddy said to him, all right, and I'll just tell Big Frank to stay in the sense.
How have boys fought by that?
It's easy done.
It was unbelievable at it. Like, me and him used to just sit for ages and we just like whisper what he's to say. And like,
did you get him there, Scotty? Sorry.
Do you think he would plan things like this, or do you think he'd just be off the cuff, or do you think he'd be like, any spare time thinking about how can I prank somebody next?
No, we used to get.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We used to just see any weakness we would hear or something happening. I would register it and I'd go, story, we should phone Hannity, boys. This is that's kind of been said. So well,
I look for a weakness in something. I mean, you
phoned a wee guy that I played weird with, right? And he won the Iron Brew. It was like the Iron Brew sponsor. He'd won player of the division.
Right.
So I'd phone, I was like, by the way, phone this wee guy and tell him he's won a year's supply of Iron Brew. He'd be all over it. So he's phoned up, he's like, listen, just to let you know, when you come today for your trophy, you've got your year's supply of Iron Brew. You know what? He's like, I can't believe that. He's like, ah, oh, he says, I actually can't make it. He's like, no, you need to come the new. He says, but it's gone. He's like, because the boy was in the motorway as well, so he was on the phone. How is it? He's like,
oh, so you will be the boy that started the phone? Oh my god, that's even better.
He's like, but you have to go up behind her. I was like, why don't you get up the road? I can't. Right? So he's like, I on the phone. So he's like, I'm just coming here between you. I'll just phone my dad and see if you can take me. That's what he says to him. All right, and you phone that wank. Right, the wee boy, Chris, is like that. He's like, just call my dad. Right? But Snorri said to him, have you got a bike? He's like, aye, I've got a bike. He's like, get on your bike, get your ass to hand right now. We'll sort that in Brookfield. He's like, all right. He says, I tell you one thing, but don't think you can be pulling skins about having this.
Did the boy go?
I went up and he was asking for his Iron Brew.
See the thing, mate, people hear stories like that and like, think, all right, but it's just a laugh. Like, he was obviously like teammates in the boy.
By the way, he was just a young boy, but he loved getting involved in all that, innit?
So there you go, Graham, fucking shut up.
I've told the prank, when I got pranked, it was fucking, I live next door, five of us Sunderland players all live next door, you know.
Aye.
And one night, my phone rang, and it was like, pretending to be a reporter. All right, Kev. It's fucking somebody from the Newcastle Chronicle. We just want to talk about the manager. He's under pressure. He's going to get sacked. What's your thoughts? And I thought, no, he's obviously doing all right and all that. It was a fucking two players next door.
Next door.
And I was like, they come in the next day and says, what do you think about the manager getting the sack, Kevin? And I was like, I don't know. See, we were telling the Newcastle Chronicle last night. I was like, did he know that?
Did that know? Clicked. Do you know when that happened to France and Daza? With Rangers?
Aye.
Mind that?
Aye, it was the agent.
That's right.
Aye. Agent.
He said he wanted to leave.
It was a Celtic fan.
And he said he wanted to leave.
Do you remember that?
Aye. He says, I'm going to get you a big move. He just signed with Rangers on the bank. About 10 grand a week. And he phoned up France and Daza about 6 weeks into the contract and says, hi, Fran. It's, I see you're not doing well at Rangers now. He says, I've got a chance to get you a move abroad to some other team for X amount of money. He says, do you want me to try and sort the deal out? And France and Daza fell hook, line and centre for it, and then that was kind of the end of France and Daza at Rangers.
Aye, because he was, as you say, he was like, I want to go, I'm getting this much a week and all that, and aye, then the guy ended up waiting. That is obvious.
Snorri phoned the boy Nick Montgomery at Sheffield United, told me he was fuming, he was wanting to kill him, but Snorri had him up measuring his neck and all that. Yeah, I helped measure the neck, like, when you get your fitty for a suit. He's asking, what size of tie are you? He was fuming a lot. He was raging, you want to kill someone.
Do you remember the one of the worst pranks was, do you remember the guy at Clyde?
Who?
Ian.
Oh my god. That's a disgrace. That's shocking. Scott, see, at that time, obviously, at Livingston, was Jim Leishman your manager, mate? He was.
You loved him, didn't you?
He signed me. Brilliant guy.
Was the story your dad and you went into his office? That's brilliant. That just clicked into my head.
I remember. You went into his office when I was signing, right? And he was like talking.
So you're just a young boy then?
I was just a young boy, 17, just signed for Hammond. And Leishman's got me and my dad, and he's like, just talking away, by the way, just like shout random figures, like, turn 50, and blah. My dad's just like, I don't know what's going on here. Right? But 3 years, right, aye. Right, he'd just be sitting, walking away, by the way. But he was done Everton at that club at the time. He would direct the traffic in for games and all that, and then go out and do the team talk.
That's class,
just, just loved it.
Okay, character like that now.
So he's like, what age are you, son? I was like, 17. He's like, 2 minutes, disappears, goes back. He's like, what's that? A clipping when he played for Dunfermline against Rangers, scored like 17. I said, I don't know, 17. scored against Rangers. I was like, just came for Hamilton. He's like, all right, by the way, we can't pay a fee to you. Right, all right, I will sort something out. Right, welcome. And that was my welcome.
What, well, you didn't agree yet? Yeah.
I didn't agree then, but he was just like, I just trusted him to be fair, he did.
But you loved him, Scotty, didn't you?
I thought he was brilliant. He just...
Did he ever start to see like you a bit? Would he struggle with your sort of personality or...
No, he loved all that.
So when we were talking about earlier, maybe coaches struggle with that sort of boy for the schemes or whatever it is. Aye. He loved that type of character.
Like, I was the same through the whole. I was always like, just had a bit of banter about me and had a wee bit about me, and he loved all that. So he was an East Coaster, but he was just like, no matter what, like, right, Scotty, so what's happening? It was a wee up to the weekend, and just wanted me in with all the boys, just getting a bit of part.
Brilliant. What year was that?
2001.
Two. Is that not the year they finished third?
Aye.
Were you there that season? Aye.
Aye, yeah, it was my first.
That's unbelievable. What was that like then? What was the team like? Good. I'm assuming it was.
No, we had a great team. See, look, we brought in goals, load of Spanish boys.
You brought him, weren't you? He was king.
King was the best ever, by the way. Used to set wheelie bins up in halfway line and just
fire it right in.
File them. Never fired them right in, so anyway.
No,
it was
the fourth used to
that's that man, Ronald. Did you add that,
Fernandez, Scotty?
Midi Fernandez.
Wow, by the way, he was unbelievable. Did he not get moved to Celtic?
He did get moved to Celtic. That's what I was thinking.
Million quid to Celtic, and then he ended up coming back on loan to us. I was like so successful at that time. Like I said, finished third, and then in Europe next season, then we won the League Cup.
Aye.
After that. But, and we Dave come back on loan. Unbelievable ability. I mean, you played
with Marquez. I played with Kamal Lippmann. He was one of the better striker partners I had.
Was he?
He was just... It's not a comparison, right? And don't take it this way. He was a bit like Salah. You just couldn't get the ball off him.
Except he hated scoring.
He scored three goals every season. And whenever you check his record, I think he's got like maybe 400 games and 40 goals.
I mean, Derek Lally scored 16 goals that season in the Premier League, and I think we did everyone.
Because did he not play with like Deportivo in that? And that's when Deportivo were actually a property. How mad is it, team?
I think it was like the UEFA Cup, they go to the semi final when
he was in the squad. That is unbelievable. Amazing. But see back then, like, teams like Livy, Dundee, that had pure Canadian unreal squads.
We signed the boy Guillermo Amor, who was the captain of Barcelona.
What?
I was captain of Barcelona. He came and played like three games for Livy.
Just fucked off again. Jim Wishman, that
was me. 17 year old, like, not Guillermo.
I did a Dunfermline signing.
Who was Dunfermline?
So, another big character you played with, Marvin Andrews. What a guy. Marvin Andrews, Scotty, were you Livingston with him as well?
Yes, I was at Livy with Big Marv.
What
he's
a
the exact same.
You should have known that.
Before he went to Rangers, Big Marv was just some character. He was the same all the way through his career. Just the happiest guy ever. Loved hitting the ball. I remember see for Andy, see let's. Boys are obsessed with stats and all that right now. See, for assists, Marv was just a dream because you just look as if you're putting an unbelievable corner in. All you had to do was just floor it up. He would just melt it
right in.
But he couldn't heather it down enough. You would need to heather it 30 yards out for him to get a shot on target.
Because you're saying about how he was a character, like, see, in a change room and that, was he like pure unbelievable to have? What would they make everything feel better and stuff?
Robbie, sorry, see, at Clyde's, obviously. Fergie was mentoring or that. Remember, like Marv was like, come on, me, Barry.
Calm down, Baz.
So what was he at
Clive?
He's
in it, Clive.
Brilliant.
Late for training, I think that fucking move at you. He's like, calm down, Baz.
All the time, wasn't it? Scotty, and then, sorry, I wanted to, you touched on a wee minute ago, your cup final you won against Hibs. Is that the one of the best days in your career, or your best day?
It was definitely one of my best. To be fair, I didn't really appreciate it at the time. Because I was 20 year old, you think this is going to happen all the time. But that was the biggest thing that happened. My career was winning that. And I said, you didn't appreciate it, but.
How did the game go again, score wise? I didn't know.
2-0.
Did you start and you came on, didn't you?
I came on as a sub. Derek Lally scored, and then Jamie McCarthy, who's assistant manager at Hibs now.
Brilliant guy.
Lovely boy. we scored two. We get battered first half, hung in there, and then we scored two, like, first 10 minutes of the second half. And
amazing.
And the thing is that was a really good Hibs team as well, wasn't it? That's like the one that Brown, Thompson, Gary Caldwell, Reardon, O'Connor. Because that was like when Scott Brown was like a wing on that, wasn't it?
Brown was.
He played on the wing.
So good. See if you ever watched the game back. I don't know who Brown stayed in the park.
It's the same guy.
No, but I don't know who stayed in the park. He was just the most he said. We had right good football players like Button O'Brien, Lee Mako.
Is that Lovell?
Stuart Lovell was
my Brian was some player.
Anyway, what a left peg.
Yeah, I remember him at 21s. He was very,
very cultured.
He was.
Do you know his problem was? He grew up in the Rang country.
Was he not Blackburn?
Aye, but see if he was like
See if he played in Holland or something like that.
Think so, aye, is that good?
You've been on Wild Air Elbert there.
You have had some players there, when you think about it.
Aye. But Stuart Lovell was a brilliant, see, the best captain ever played on him.
I'd say aye.
Was it just me, the boys, and made sure you were all right?
Like, see, just like dealing with the ball and things like that.
Something
like that. Always protecting all the boys.
That's a captain for you.
Aye, Everton.
Very diplomatic.
Aye, he was good, but like he worked in the PFA, he was the perfect guy that worked in the PFA because he was always about all the players, so I knew he would do well.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's up, mate.
On you go.
So was your first season the season they finished third?
Aye.
And then, so then that was the season after they were in Europe. So did you play in Europe with them? Because they get played through the first round, didn't they?
Fuck. I beat Vaduz and then ended up playing Stumgrats. It was just, Livy were just constantly on you up.
That's crazy.
And then obviously when in administration, you just shit out the fan.
Aye. So what happened with the administration? Was that just overspending?
Aye.
We were in administration. Guys or something?
No, that was later on, dude. Was that administration?
Fucking hell.
Can you study Livingston?
Dominic
Keane. He followed this mere research in Andy, didn't he?
Dominic Keane was the chairman. And I said, when we won the League Cup, we were in administration. We went into administration the day of the semi-final. We ended up beating Dundee 1-0. Derek Lutz scored a penalty last minute. And we were in administration that day. So boys were losing their jobs. Like, boys, you were never...
You said in there Dominic Keane. Is it Keane?
Aye.
How do you know that name? Was he something David Celtic's board?
Aye, I think that was years before that.
I played golf with him on Saturday.
Aye.
I just remember that name, I think.
He was the chairman and then...
Him and a guy, Kelly, I don't know.
David, he was the manager.
So you just get told then, Scotty, that he's were in administration. Aye. But what were the boys actually like in that? What were the boys saying to themselves?
Because it was... See, boys were just like... There was boys from Spain that they just had to leave the club and you'd never see them again.
Dave
Fernandez was in tears because his best mate was wee boy Francisco Quino. He was away back to Spain and never
see him again.
Dave was an emotional guy.
Aye. But Dave, do you know Dave? Dave Dunbar? He paid out his own pocket to keep one of the boys, Fernando Pasquinelli.
Would you ever do that?
Never, mate. Wait. So see when you were there with administration stuff, is that was like staff and all that getting laid off as well?
Aye, young boys as well. You thought young boys would be protected because they were earning a lot of money, but they would maybe have 2 or 3 year contracts, so they just get binned.
Aye.
Lost all their dough.
What was the... Because I'm sure in about... Did Livy not kind of have like no bad attendances and all that kind of stuff then as well? I remember see the one I said with Snodgrass, I mind it being a midweek game. I mean, I could be totally fucking wrong here, but I mind it being a midweek game. It might have been two each. I remember it being like a big crowd, like almost full, and not just like as nowhere Rangers Celtic with 3 stands. I'm pretty sure Rangers had maybe 1.5 in the rest of the show, but now obviously it's... No. But I don't know if it's
administration stuff.
2005 or 6. Paul Lambert was my last manager.
Did you play when Coventry came up pre-season? No.
I think
I remember playing against McPate. Would he have been there 2006?
Aye, he'd have still been there, but James was on my youth team and he was a striker. And I don't know who made him a striker. So he was never a striker. He was rapid. And then he eventually had a brilliant career playing for
a great guy, isn't he?
Lovely guy.
See, with Paul Lambert, he loved looking at the ceiling during team talks, didn't he?
He did.
What was that all about, that?
I remember Lambo.
What was
that all about? By the way, no joke, so Lambo would be getting a team talk and he would say, he always did this awkward thing with his finger where he'd go, it's like that. Right? So I was like, I don't even know what that means, but okay. Paul Lambert, you've won the European Cup, I'll just listen, Lambo.
Aye.
So he'd go like that, say he was talking to you, so he's like, so then you were right, pal. He'd go like that.
Anyway.
I don't think he's on the roof, mate.
But that don't was know what might have been.
That was, high, was that. That was his first job, so he was obviously learning, but he was just a wee bit.
Did you get on with him?
I thought he was a good guy playing my position.
Just when he was down the ceiling, was
just weird. I tried to do that, and I just couldn't do it.
What about big guy and all, Richard Goff? How did you get on with him? Big Goffy.
I didn't go on with
John Goffy.
No, what was he like? He looked at the flair.
No, no. He looked at himself. He looked at himself. He loved himself, by the way.
Did he not get him relegated? No, is that him? No,
they stayed up in the last.
No, that was Ryan.
That was Ryan. Aye,
your research.
I became a Rangers fan. I was a lovely fan after that.
But he would walk about with his tap off all the time. Just loved himself, Big Goffy.
I see. What was he like with the boys? That was a bit. bit arrogant.
I loved his sale. Archie Knox was assistant. Archie Knox.
Oh my god.
What a guy. He's
team mentor.
By the way,
he's a scariest man ever. He's got to be up there, one of the scariest.
I thought he was a brilliant guy. This
I know,
one of the best
he is,
ever.
But he's scary in a football capacity.
See, you do your body fat, isn't that right? So, we've all got a body fat, everybody was all right, but Snoddy's body fat was quite high, right? So, we walked in with Molly, I just came up to Jersey, I'm like, Molly, Archie's like, Molly, Snoddy's come in at the back of me, and I'm like, Archie! Archie's like, you are fat. Sounds like. All right, didn't know what to do.
When did you have, was there a coach for you?
Him and wee Craig Brown came in. Fuck it, what is wrong with me? That's because you're asking questions, you're putting me unnecessary. No, sorry, Motherwell when wee Craig Brown and Arch Knox came in, Motherwell made a big deal about me going and sort of, it became a wee bit toxic between me and the club, and it wasn't nice at the time, and I always remember Arch Knox coming up to me and just saying, listen, you do your best on it, and it was a brilliant touch, do you know what I mean? They don't know what happened, we got to Celtic or whatever it was, but he was the one that came out there and done it, and what a guy he is.
That's when did you have him?
I didn't have him. I was away in a Scotland trip.
I remember you telling me a story.
Right. I was away in a Scotland trip with the 21s, and we were like...
Fond of the vodka, is that right?
Something happened, and Archie pulled me up afterwards before we got on the plane. Basically, I was just standing there, nearly was speaking to me because of what I did. And he just came up and grabbed me by the ear and pulled me towards him and says, who are you? And he dragged me really close to him and Bruni. And my dad and my son, not playing for this country again.
What? Is that what he said, Matt?
She's not playing for this country again.
What? Oh,
he was absolutely 100% right when he said it.
He's proved right.
Oh, I got 2 years back in because we were fucking struggling, so that's how desperate we got when they brought me back in. But I was on the verge of actually getting in the Scotland team no long after they came back for the World Cup. I remember we got to Scotland, played pre-season. We played opened up Hamilton Stadium, which would have been 2000.
You ran the show there.
Craig Brown put in an article in the paper that Monday and says, they went to the World Cup, and he says, I went to the Milk Cup just to watch the kids, and I'm really close to picking the big guy for Sunderland for the national team. I was only 19, even before I made my debut. Mm. And then Craig Brown got sacked and whatever, then boy. But that was it. I'll tell that story another time, but that's it. He pulled me. You're not ready for this country again, son. You've let yourself down, you've let your country down, you've let your family down, you've let everybody down. And I swear to God, I sat in that plane back from Poland or Iceland, whatever it was. Nobody sat beside me. I was sat there on my lonesome, and I felt like I just wanted the world to swallow me up.
That's
not good at all. Especially you're saying you've got a big reputation, scary as fuck.
Absolute legend. But see, hanging with Archie, right? He coached with Walter Smith, coached with Sir Alex Ferguson. But see his training. His training was brilliant, but it was just simple. He would just, your warm-up would be heated tennis, you get into boxes, you back crossing, finishing, shooting, and then games. Isn't anyone that's overcomplicated? Whereas, see now, boys overcomplicate their training session just for the sake of it.
Yeah.
They make it about them, whereas...
Do you think nowadays, though, players expect that, though, for coaches, or do you think players would prefer just to come in, it's more simple? Do you think players nowadays probably
Surely in coaching, you've got to always relay what you're trying to do on a Saturday in some capacity. So, like, keep ball sessions, boxes, it seems not like a novelty. Mm-hmm. But what you're doing there fundamentally is keeping the ball.
Exactly.
Then you go into a game. You're keeping the ball, you've done crossing and finishing because you're trying to score goals. Yep. As long as it's related to what you're trying to do on a Saturday, but you're keeping the players amused, because I'm pretty sure you're saying to use at Broomhill now, I've watched your training, there's none of them will be moaning about the training you do.
The training's unreal.
I watched it with a guy one night, and he says, Kevin, is that the level of intensity at a Premier League club that you've been at? Mm-hmm. I says, they boxes, how fast are moving? He says, aye, probably. Yeah. And he went, really? Is that how? I says, aye. He says, Chris, that's impressive. But people don't, until you go and see that level, you don't really think, oh, wow. But I always just think that as long as you're able, and I think that's where we struggled at Ayr, because we were struggling as a team, our training got changed all the time to try different things to try and get, just keep doing the fundamentals and get everybody to do the fundamentals right.
Aye, but when Andy was in charge, and Andy's training was brilliant. Everybody loved it, but he would do.
Who was that?
Andy Mullen. His training, he's got a book. And I've been, like, his book and drills Oh, amazing.
Aye.
Like, worth going and speaking to him, like he's...
Aye, definitely.
Like, oh.
But he wouldn't... See if he did a passenger, see if a passenger was kind of all right, and then some managers just bin it, he would do it again. See if you were training in the shoes, he would do it again the Thursday because he wanted it to get better. Aye. See, tell your master that passing drill, then he would move on to the next
one. That shows confidence and belief in what you start to do. Exactly. You see, sometimes if I feel as a coach, maybe do a drill and just say, that's not working. I'm like, well, you obviously didn't believe that was going to help them, because that's the whole point doing it. But as you say, the thing we like different. So I've obviously done it for a bit now, played for all my life, but went to watch kind of a couple of clubs and that, and see what you realise. See if you go and watch a sort of top team train, you soon realise everybody's kind of doing the same things.
Right.
It's just how they deliver it's maybe a wee bit different, and intensity is the biggest thing. See if everybody is treating the drill properly, then that makes all the difference. Boxes, for example, bus one of the boxes, you know, however many times a week, but somebody might walk past an amateur team seeing them do boxing and think that looks shit, but it's just however you take it.
I always found it in training that in any drill that anybody ever did, as long as they were able to put their input in and explain what went wrong and why it went wrong, whereas I think sometimes now with young coaches they'll go on their phone and they'll go into football DNA app or whatever it is,
so
DNA, and they'll rock up when they'll do they'll do the Barcelona drill or the Man City drill, and they'll set all the cones up accordingly, but they don't know how to coach the drill.
Aye.
So when it's not working, they're like, how the fuck's this not working?
Could you maybe set up an organisation here, but how do you deliver
it? By the way, talk about coaches, Gordon Dale with me, remember? Oh my word.
What was he like, Paul?
He's actually a brilliant guy. He actually related to me, but we went to me and Scotty, Paddy Boyle, Gordon Dale. We'd done a coaching thing for Clyde Wanmouth, coaching for kids or something like that. So we'd done it, so I've turned up, and it was Monday to Friday. So after that, I was like, was that 5 minutes later or something? Because by the time I came in, Gordon,
you were in the motor with me, and I was like, I'll make sure it's me and you, Slaney. Me and you and Paddy will go away. Gordon Dale, right? So then we turned up onto the pitch, and I was like, right, who's with me? I was like, Slaney.
It's shocking. It was never going to be was it?
Mate, every day I turned up, I went like, give me Real Madrid, one this morning, pal, for you.
Aye.
So he'd done that, right? So he's doing a session, say, with 16 kids or whatever, right? Halfway through, the kids have not got a fucking clue what's going on, right? He'd be like, that's Slaney boy, take over, and I'll wait for a cup of tea.
By the way, middle of the drill, you just see him just marching in, he's got a tea, he's like, Slaney boy, get that finished.
Mate, that was a, he was manager at Glenafton for a bit, I spoke to a couple of guys that played for him, and I was like, how busy, and to be fair, and he said, aye, brand new, but sometimes during the game, he'd just gone for a pint.
We used to do that. He used to point laugh, didn't he? Like, Slaney boy, you get out there, you get out of there.
Hold up his fingers and then one lunch, I've been picking stuff up, I'm finishing one of his drills and they're all finished. So I've walked there and he's like, Slaney boy, you into the karate? So when I was picking him up, him and Paddy have told Gordon Dale, I done karate every day, weren't he? And he was like, what belt are you on now? Now, fucking hell.
Dale was like, red tip.
But what a guy, Gordon Dale, and another unbelievable guy, a real close pal of yours, Scotty, Andy McLaren. You played with Morton, was that the first time you came across each other, Scotty?
I played against each other, he was at United, and he's just some
he was mental, wasn't he?
Oh mate, but what a laugh, man. What a laugh.
What was my favourite one he told us is the one at Morton with the boy? No, that one, but the one with the chairman with the phone. The silver phone.
Phone
F.
F-O-N-G.
Aye. So Jim McNally's manager at the time at Morton. So he's getting the team talk. And then he's sitting next to me, he's like, you see this going, you see this? Wow. Like, man, just did the team talk when he came down, Andy, what are you doing? So just wait. So then Jimmy's done his team talk, he's like, right, Andy, take it away. And he jumped up in the physio bed, pulled his shorts down, he's got a shiny silver thong. Right? But he starts dancing on the physio
party
bed.
Party boy, man.
Party boy, aye. Starts dancing on the physio bed, right? But the wee chairman used to come in for the team talks.
No way, he's just throwing that.
And he's sitting there and he's like, ah, all right, chairman, do you want your old job back?
But the man was a
belt. The wee guy, Johnny Messano, he played with Morton for like 4 years, but a club legend. And it was his last game, so he's sitting there like in tears, towel over, he's heaving on that. Nobody wanted to speak to him. I was just like, yeah, wee Johnny's a wee bit emotional. Man. So Andy's bounced at the shower. And he's like, he's sure, bald naked. He's like, slaps me, he's like, Don't worry about it, Johnny. At least you can tell your granny when you played Randy McLaren.
Guys, go ahead. That's just about done, mate. But what I forgot to talk about in the early days, he'd been completely blank when we were there. The Newcastle trip, which is famous now for the haircut and all that. But aye, you were part of that trip, mate, weren't you?
Oh, what a trip. That was when you were like, he was like, I'm going to get a haircut. I'm going to get a haircut. I was like, just going to get a haircut. Took me for it, were you?
Took me half
for it. Go the world famous. Go the world famous haircut, were you?
Oh, John, oh, that was
it. Can you remember when me, Forrest?
Oh, this is unbelievable.
Me, Forrest, and Robbie were in, they were in the room together with, you know, Peter Murphy, fight his manager, Annan.
Right.
Murph. By the way, he was a right good player and all, Murph.
Connecting boy, he's funny as fuck, wasn't he? Barrow laughs that boy.
By the way, so straight laced.
Remember the last squad where the warm up, he took the warm up? And I was like to Nicky this one, I was dog shitting the hairdos.
No, but he punched you in the ribs, didn't he?
I fucking got cracked his light in the ribs.
No, but we knew he was like dead serious. So I was in the rooms and I stitched up me, Forrest and Robin. I put Murphy in the room with him night. So anyway, they were up on the Sunday. They were all fucking wee bit merry with the jungle juice. And he's like that. They're like, oh, I'm in that Murph. Murph used to always say, like, hey, let's get a couple of passes in. Get a couple of passes in, right? So they're taking the piss at him. They're like, oh, wait, Murph, get a couple of passes in. Who sits up for the bed when they're taking the piss at him? Murph. Murph's like,
he's in the same room as him.
I'm like, you better shut the fuck up.
Maybe he's shot himself, didn't he?
That big boy, was he?
Oh, he's fucking. No, basically, he's a big boy.
No, even just.
Fucking.
By the way, a quick one with Robbie Crawford. I remember we were doing pre season, right? At Irvine Beach. We're running up the sand dunes. So you'd run up the sand dunes, fucking hard as fuck. Do a big run, and you end up going back, and you end up doing a couple of laps for like time. So I was right in front of the group, charging on, and I'm just running down. I just called him, I was like, what the fuck is going on here? We Robbie's like he's back in a recovery position. Nearly passed it. We get up the sand dune and nearly passed it. If I just go to the recovery position. Wait, he's a sheep.
Wait, was he?
He was about 19.
No way, man. That is the man. Is he no major fit as well?
Nah, no, that round. You think Robbie Crawford's at Rangers?
Oh, boy, he's a thistle now.
Yeah.
Aye, he was right, okay. Yeah, so he's not fit then.
No, I don't think Robbie's got a team yet.
No, he hasn't. He's a decent player as well.
Went to Livy, Motherwell.
Did you play with him at Ayr?
So not a thistle.
He nearly binned it here when I was there. They nearly got rid of him because he couldn't. He was great on the ball, but he just always turned into people.
Aye, he had like assists and goals. He's getting, aye, he did, eventually did.
And then he did, aye, we obviously the year after, and then the year they got promoted. Aye. That's when then got him a move to, was it Livy?
I think he first went to Livy.
And then done well at Livy and got a move to Motherwell. And he's done like a decent wage at Motherwell, and then now just been part of it. Just shows you how fit, though.
He's a great lad, we Robbie, to be fair.
Remember the young goalie there, where Ian McCall's like, listen, Ian McCall's just came in, and he's like, listen, well, you've been beat, whatever it is in the bounce, standards need to get fucking high in training or that. Remember the young goalkeeper that was in at the training?
Where what's the Wally?
By the way, so standards needs to be high. So big nervous Norval, wasn't he? So right away McCall's got him, he's got the ball in his hands, he's got that to chuck the ball, but like kind of try hold on it, like, slug it in his head there. And then ran into the post, didn't he?
You mentioned one of the next to have it off and let it go to the ball. There's somebody pressed, right? Somebody runs right up to it, tries to do a cross turn by him, but he cross turns it, fucks it right at the post and goes right in the net, didn't it?
Unbelievable. Remember at the end, but so he came in, he's on the other stick, and he calls him that. Right, good session, that boy. He's glad. That can't happen.
What was he, McCall? I've heard he's brand new. Obviously, I saw him now when I was there, and a lot of guys spoke highly of him.
Nice,
honey. By the way, speaking of goals, assists, how's your fitness coming along?
Trained twice last week, playing the night in the bounce game.
Yeah.
Felt really good. Actually, I was training last week. Because remember when I was playing like the fives with you, doing early stage of training, I felt miles after last week. I felt as good as I could. No, as good as I could get, but I felt proper sharp, so go far away now, mate.
So what do you see as a process? I don't think you're obviously not going to put a timeline on it or anything like that, but is that a case of continually training up to it, or is it just when needed?
I think very, very soon it'll be on the bench, and then it's up to obviously Si then to put more on, maybe if he wants to. He'll never ever put his own.
Are you at the game tonight?
Aye, what, the pre-training game?
Aye,
so your boys are going to join in. God damn it,
I'm going to come and watch it. I think it's
a mere stoke start.
I'm just
going
to
no,
watch.
It doesn't matter. I can still come
to see
for 90 minutes.
I'm coming to see this guy.
Aye.
Easy. Well, some players quite there.
Easy.
Unbelievable.
I'm going to come and see this guy tonight.
How, see, generally, that you played with him, how was he as a player?
Very good. Honestly,
what kind of player was he?
who could you compare him to? Similar to in his pomp?
Jimmy Johnson, wasn't it?
No, that's who you look like. You didn't rate me, Jimmy Johnson, didn't you? No, I can't. I don't know how I compare him, but
Kaka.
Yes. see the thing is with Kaka, right? Kaka could change direction very quickly, like without slowing down. That's what Slaney was like. Slaney would go that way and he'd quickly check that way.
Said that he could change direction without actually doing a skill.
That's what I always notice about you. Like, you maybe know throw a trick in there, but he could change direction so quick.
Then I need to
at the same pace he was going at, and you wouldn't even like.
Don't think any player in the world can do it.
Very sharp.
No,
it's a dying art.
No any better. Do you see that? Is that
Cesare dribbling?
So can we talk about this era and the story behind this horrible picture here?
No, but that's a fans came up to us, and it's an amazing wee gesture.
And for the
came up to us after the game, he's got a boy and
Stephen, because you thought you were Stephen Kevin.
Scotty boy, just the end.
You're both right, by the way.
Aye, sorry.
Blue Mill there.
No, that's your debut.
Is it?
Unbelievable.
Blue Mill there. Not so much.
I was right after the crosses with Mowbray.
Look at the cuffs.
Oh my God.
Look at the cuffs and name, by the way.
That was the morning after Amsterdam. We had to go and speak to them.
Can you get a dad's jumper on there?
No, it's a shocker. Sorry, Scott, just to end it, mate. Who would you say, out of all the teammates you played with, was the funniest, craziest, or your favourite teammate, whatever? Just to end it, I know, mate.
One of my favourites. You know, Matty Flynn.
Oh, legend.
What an embarrassment.
Matty, don't see that.
I hate the boy.
I love Matty. I played with Matty at Clyde.
He'd have been running with Fergie, didn't he?
He had a running with Fergie, aye.
He'll come on to tell that tale.
Aye, Matty could handle himself.
Aye, definitely can.
But, brilliant teammate, such a laugh, but good player as well and trained hard.
We went on a wee holiday on us, didn't we?
We did. Matty was a freak level. Remember he put that hat on, and he never took it off. Slated this shirt. Slated, you can't even get a timber at that time now.
Tits.
Change days.
Right? So we ended up ripping his shirt right off him.
But remember the way I turned up to the airport?
Dressed as Tony Bellew, weren't you?
Tony Bellew, but I didn't have any clothes made for 4 days.
I had light travel, weren't you? I had a wee briefcase full of three t-shirts.
Johnny's on it.
Johnny's. No, I don't know, need them. No, but Matty ripped that shirt off you, didn't he? What height are you? 5'7". Anyway, large. Size large.
Oh, what a time. He's been unbelievable. Scott.
Oh, what a legend, man. What a man.
Unbelievable. Kev, Robbie, who we fancying for next week?
For next guest?
Maybe for anybody up.
Kevin Giant. You've been a very long time.
I think Kears will be a good shout.
Aye, Kears will. But Matty Flynn,
just because obviously we'll try to keep it lower in league junior. We'll try to keep it lower in league junior, so we need somebody
some with a bat
and insight. Aye, some
scuddy.
Right, boys, we're on to pick 10. I'll go through the games as I do every week. Go down the board and we'll see who's going to be the winner. Are we ready to go, Robbie? We'll start with you.
Yeah.
Here we go. Hibernian Rangers.
Rangers.
Scotty?
Rangers.
Rangers.
I'll go with
Rangers.
Rangers. Arbroath Queen's Park.
Draw.
Arbroath.
Arbroath.
I'll go Queen's Park. Cove Rangers versus Ayr United.
Oh,
you're Cove. Mad for Cove. I knew you were going to say that. You love Cove, and I don't know what's all about.
Draw.
It's the Rangers.
Draw.
Cove.
Cove.
I want to hear it one more.
Aye. You're an honest man.
Steelman. That's my lover,
isn't it? Aye.
I'll go with. That's a draw written on the cards. Dundee United v St Mirren. You love St Mirren. Got St Mirren games, don't you?
Always.
You did your agency work as well, Scotty, didn't you?
Aye.
We'll talk about that in a wee minute, but so on to Dundee United, St Mirren.
Dundee United.
Synonym.
Draw.
Jack Ross has been brilliant recently. Dundee United. We'll go next. Greenock Morton versus Dundee.
Say again?
Greenock Morton against Dundee.
Dundee. They'll win it. The league.
Think so?
Aye.
I think it'll be a stuffy game.
Ex-Mort, they're sitting on the fence, aren't they?
No, I think Dundee will win, but I think it'll be close.
Dundee.
Aye, we do. Emery's no started as well as he finished last season, didn't he? No.
How'd you feel about that?
And aye, we stink a joint.
Eating
Chris. Eating stink a joint now. Hamilton versus Raith Rovers.
Hamilton. For Derek Ferguson.
Hamilton.
Who's in Hamilton, if you don't mind me asking?
Who's in Hamilton?
John
Hamilton.
Rankin.
Is there it? You go.
Squiggler. John Rankin, I'll go. Oh,
scored it recently, didn't he?
Aye. John Rankin. Okay, Stevie Hamill against Martindale, Mullow Livingston.
Ooh, it's a great it's a bad game of football, innit? Mullow.
Oh, no, I like that.
You like that?
Disappointing. We'll see how the fans react to that.
Mullow.
draw. I hate Livy.
It's a draw right away. Ross County, Kilmarnock.
Kelly. Oof,
that's a tough game, isn't it?
Kelly.
Ross County. Draw.
Ross County, aye. St Johnstone, Aberdeen.
Aberdeen.
Joe.
Aberdeen.
Aberdeen. And last but not least, Leeds.
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 Leeds. Fancy Leeds. Leeds, Man United.
Fancy Leeds. I'm basically my worst hosting performance yet. Why not come back? Last but not least, the champions against Hearts. That was the champions against Hearts.
I tried to be smart last week, didn't I?
Definitely champions.
Celtic.
Yeah, Celtic for me as well. And then that's us finished, boy.
Good show, Paul. Paul, you've been fucking terrible.
I'm not finishing that. No way. Listen, boys, it's been unbelievable. Absolutely amazing. You've been 5 out of 10.
Nah, really great.
8 out of 10, Scotty, and 7 out of 10. Boy, you've been outstanding. You really have.
So you've been world class.
Paul, I want to say something before we go. I liked how you've started the show this week with your wee cocky jokes and that.
Did I say that?
You know why he's doing that? Scoping his mates.
What I'm going to say.
He got a bit of grief inside yesterday about his wee podcast. And he stepped up and he was taking over, mate.
Kev, having been with the two of them, how do you think they compare us hosts?
Oh, he's easier to speak to because he looks at you.
Ah. Sai
looks at me, right? But I realised there's a fucking mirror behind me.
He's always on the phone, isn't he?
Well, we call it there, boys.
Aye.
It's been an absolute honour, boys. Well done.
Well done. Thank you.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.